Yeah, that's the thing that struck me was, as I did my research, nobody knew anything about it. But what was most fascinating was that it's all in the archives all over the world, but the information's there, but you have to get it.
It even goes back to ancient Chinese using solar energy.
What's really interesting is that the Chinese discovered what's called the gnomon, and that's a stick that goes perpendicular into the ground, and it becomes the first timekeeper and calendar keeper that we had, and it does that by the shadows of the sun throughout the year.
And, of course, over the years, over the centuries, solar energy has taken a far distant seat to fossil fuels, and there are good reasons for that. Fossil fuels were abundant and cheap for a very long time.
Well, actually, fossil fuels are very young, you might say. They're only about 200 or 300 years old. And what a lot of people don't realize is we just think of the West, and we think of the industrialized West, but throughout the world, people were still using solar energy to heat their homes and to also designing properly to keep them cool during the summertime for thousands of years up to today. For example, I was in Western Turkey trekking a few months ago, and I saw like every house was designed as the they were using solar design, mainly facing the house south, having enough overhang to keep the summer sun off. Very simple designs, but very effective.
In this country, solar energy, it seems like it had its biggest heyday in the 70s. In the wake of the oil embargo, there was great attention to R&D on solar energy. And then that waned as the oil crisis also eased. So where are we today?
Well, actually, that is another very fascinating group of discoveries I made, was that most of the solar technologies were invented in this country, but the majority of the presidential administrations ignored expert advice to go solar because of the influence of the fossil fuel and nuclear industry. But the documents that I became privy to, and I actually have them at my house, begin with the Eisenhower administration, when the first effective solar cells were invented, but instead, because of Cold War needs, they went to nuclear power to whitewash, you know, the effects of the fallout from overhead testing. And then under the Nixon administration, there was a report from the National Science Foundation as they were building on an energy plan for the country that solar cells would be much more much safer and also much more effective than nuclear power. But the Nixon administration, because the energy plan was devised by the Atomic Energy Commission, denied that any report such as that existed and decided to put all their, put all their money into breeder reactors, which never, developed. And nuclear power and fossil fuels. And then the Carter administration also got a recommendation from the Department of Defense, which needed solar for its remote needs, which was cheaper than even then back in the 70s for powering generators. But the Carter administration nixed that idea, and that would have jump-started the solar industry. And then during the Reagan administration, they got a report from the very valued consulting firm of Arthur D. Little that the federal government should spend a lot of money on solar because of its value. And they actually not only destroyed all the copies of that report, but warned the people of Arthur D. Little if they allowed any reports to remain extant or spoke about it, they wouldn't get paid for the report.
It sounds like you think there's some kind of conspiracy out there against solar power.
Well, not a conspiracy, just a It's happening. Actually, it's happening today. As solar gets more and more effective, which is happening, is that more and more utilities are trying to stop its spread by eliminating what's called net metering, where people get rewarded for putting solar on their rooftops. Net metering means they get paid for the electricity they produce that goes back into the grid.
I was reading a report. It was done in 2006 by the Global Climate and Energy Project out of Stanford, and this is what the report says. It says that currently less than 1% of total electricity from renewables is solar. And the reasons for that are, according to this report, that it's not competitive yet, that the capital costs are too high, that the conversion efficiency is too modest, and that it's too intermittent a source, that the technology is not there to solve that yet.
When was that done?
It was done in 2006.
Yeah, well, 2006 and 13 are completely different years. The price has gone down astronomically. From about $4 a watt to under $1 a watt. And we're in the midst of what's called a solar revolution. If you read the financials, like the Motley Fool, they're talking about this year solar was the biggest growth industry on the market. The efficiency has gone up from 2006 to about 10%. Now your best panels on the rooftop are 22%. And I know all this because I'm in charge of installing photovoltaics at the University of California, Santa Barbara campus.
Dr. Perlin, do you see that this revolution, as you put it, is going to continue to the point that solar will be much more dominant source of energy in the very near future in this country?
Already. I mean, for example, in 2000, there was less than 1 gigawatt of photovoltaics installed in the world. Today, the cumulative, there's about 130 gigawatts. So that's order of magnitude by 130, right, of increase. And that's because one country, Germany, the government, decided to have a solar-friendly program called the feed-in tariff, where people got rewarded for using solar. And also because the Chinese government put a lot of money into the manufacturing side, and the what was called the efficiency of scaling brought down the price.
So what would you like to see in this country done, Dr. Perlin, to make solar energy more prominent?
Well, first of all, we're in the midst of a big fight. It's counterintuitive who supports solar and who doesn't. The military has always been the biggest supporter in this country of solar. Since the launching of the Vanguard satellite that uses used photovoltaics, solar cells. And solar cells gave the military a new weapon, and that was space, to monitor what was happening in the world, also to guide its missile system, and to give it a very private communication system. The military has always been a very powerful advocate. In fact, if not for the military, there would be no photovoltaic industry. But then also, the people who started the solar terrestrial industry was Exxon, of all companies, right? And the first applications on land were oil-based assets. In fact, it was photovoltaics that saved the oil industry in Saudi Arabia, because Saudi Arabia had a bad oil spill. And they asked the question, well, actually the king said, if you can't keep our aquifers clean, we will get rid of all the oil rigs. And so they use solar cells to send electricity into the ground to protect the pipelines and the well casings from any corrosion.
And the future is bright as far as you're concerned in terms of solar energy.
Well, not only, we mix up, we use solar energy now almost, as talking about solar electricity, solar cells, but also there's solar water heating. And, for example, in China, I think it's about 40 million people, 40 million households, I should say. So it's about 160 million people already use solar water heating for their hot water. In fact, there's more energy saved in the world by heating water with the sun than there is with solar electricity.
Well, I have been speaking with Dr. John Perlin, who's a professor of physics at the University of California, Santa Barbara, and coordinator of the California Space Grant Consortium there, and also author of a new book called Let It Shine, The 6,000-Year Story of Solar Energy. Dr. Perlin, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much for calling.